Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, it's Wednesday, and thanks for spending some time at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. It's great to have you with us today. If you've been with us throughout the week thus far, you know that Derek has been teaching us about prayer, and it's been that great, solid, classic Derek Prince kind of teaching. We've learned that God is a loving Father who wants to answer our prayers. We also learned that sometimes our earthly images of fathers get in the way of what we're trying to do in Jesus and trying to do in prayer. We've learned to pray in the name of Jesus, and we've also learned to take hold of the promises of God, understanding that they're already yes in Christ Jesus. And we're also getting a sense of the priority of prayer. Derek was certainly a man of prayer who prayed 2, 3, 4 hours a day. Reminds us of John Wesley, who said, "I am persuaded that God does everything by prayer and nothing without it." The great movements in the history of the church have been prayer-fueled, and we want to see that rise again today. So let's listen now as Derek Prince takes us into this powerful teaching about prayer and thanksgiving as it's connected to godly prayer.
Today I'm going to speak about yet one more requirement that also has to do with our approach to God. We must come to Him with worship, with praise, and with thanks. Let me repeat those three words: with worship, with praise, and with thanks. Now, these three things are closely related, and yet they're distinct, and each one of them is important in our approach to God. First of all, I'll speak about worship. Worship is something that is very little understood in contemporary Christendom. Worship is not praise. Worship is not singing hymns. Worship is something different. All the biblical words that are translated worship, both in the Old Testament and in the New, describe primarily an attitude of the body. There are different attitudes represented by different words. One means to bend the head low. Another means to bend the upper part of the body forward and to stretch out the hands. And a third means to prostrate oneself face downwards in the presence of the one whom one is worshiping. But all the words that are used describe an attitude. Worship is not so much what we say, it's the attitude in which we come. In the 6th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah had a vision of the throne of God, and above it he saw the seraphim, the burning, fiery creatures that surround God's throne. And he saw that each had 6 wings. And he saw what they were doing with their 6 wings. With one pair of wings, they covered their faces. With a second pair of wings, they covered their bodies. And with a third pair of wings, they flew. Notice that flying comes last. The lesson is that worship comes before service, and worship is twice as important as service. 4 wings were given to worship, 2 wings to service. And the wings of worship are described before the wings of service. Worship, in a sense, is covering your face. It's covering your body. It's bowing low. It's bending the head. It's an attitude. Of course, it does not have to be a physical attitude. We're talking about something in the spirit, the approach of our spirit to God. Jesus said the true worshipers must worship God in spirit and in truth. So we're talking about a worship in spirit, an attitude of the spirit, a heart bowed low in the presence of God. Then we look at praise. Praise, I would say, is vocal. It's uttered. It's different from worship. Worship is the attitude. Praise is the vocal expression. We praise God for who God is and what He does in general. This is stated in Psalm 48, verse 1. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." Praise should be in proportion to God's own person. He's great. He should be greatly praised. Praise is the response of the human heart to the greatness of God. Great in wisdom, great in power, great in his creative works and acts, great in his redemptive acts, great in his dealings with us. Everything that God is and does is great, and the praise he receives from us should be in proportion to his greatness. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Let me say, you never waste time praising the Lord. Most of us do it far too little. And then we see in Psalm 100, verse 4, that praise is essential for access to God's presence. Familiar words. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Here the psalmist speaks both about thanksgiving and praise, and he indicates that in order to have access to God, we must come with both, with thanksgiving and with praise. There is no other way to come into God's presence but with thanksgiving and praise. We must begin our prayers not with petitions, but with worship, with thanksgiving, and with praise. There's a beautiful phrase in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. This is a prophetic description of the city of God, the place where God dwells, the home of God's people, the place of salvation. And speaking of this beautiful place, this city, Isaiah says, "You will call your walls salvation, and your gates praise." Notice, this city is surrounded by walls that are salvation. That's God's provision, protection for his people. Salvation is the great all-inclusive word for all that God has provided for his people through the death of Jesus on the cross. It's every benefit and every blessing that has been purchased for us by the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. That's salvation. But in this city whose walls are salvation, there are gates. And in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, we're told very clearly the only way into the city is through the gates. And Isaiah tells us the gates are praise. What does that say? It says that if you want to get into the city of salvation, if you want to get into the presence of God, if you want to come into the enjoyment of all God's provision and protection and blessings for his people, there's only one way in. You've got to come through the gate. And every gate is praise. So there's no other way into the presence of God but the way through the gate of praise. Now let me speak for a moment or two on thanksgiving. I said that praise is offered to God for who he is and what he does in general. I believe we offer thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us in particular. Thanksgiving makes all the greatness of God that's general and universal particular in our case. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." You see what Paul says there? Everything by prayer. Years ago, in John Wesley's journal, he made this comment: "I am persuaded that God does everything by prayer and nothing without it." And I would say amen to that. God does everything by prayer and nothing without it. Paul says by prayer and supplication, but he adds with thanksgiving. In other words, when you come to God with your requests, never fail to start by thanking him.
What we are praying for in your life is a life of prayer, a living exchange with God in which you make your request known to him based on promises that are already yes in Jesus, and God answers those prayers, thus inspiring a great chorus of praise and thanksgiving. It ought to be two-way, and it ought to be transforming in your life. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper.
Call toll-free 800-448-3261 to order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. It's great to have you with us today. We're in the midweek of a first week of a great series on prayer by Derek Prince that is proving absolutely transforming. Derek is just about to talk about some of the attitudes that we need as we approach God to see our prayers answered. Let's listen.
Today, I'm going to speak about the first element of a successful prayer. It can be stated two ways, one positive, the other negative. Positively, it is with confidence. Negatively, it is without condemnation. These are like the two opposite sides of one coin. The positive side, with confidence. The negative side, without condemnation. Condemnation will always undermine confidence. Let's look at some scriptures which emphasize this aspect of successful prayer. I'll turn first of all to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Two reasons are given here why we should have this kind of confidence. First of all, we're praying to someone who's on a throne. What does a throne indicate? A king. Not merely a king, but the king. The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the supreme ruler of the universe, the one who said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." We're praying to someone who has both the authority and the power to do what we ask. He's sitting on a throne. Let's lift our eyes from ourselves and our own needs and problems and look up to that glorious throne. Then it's a throne of grace. Grace is always more than we can deserve or earn. Grace is one of the key words of the New Testament, and it always stands for something that goes beyond anything we can earn or achieve by our own efforts. So because it's a throne of grace, we are not limited to what we deserve, or to what we can achieve, or to what our own efforts can accomplish for us. So as you come in prayer, remember, you're coming to a throne, and it's a throne of grace. Then a second reason why we can come with confidence is because we have been invited by God to come. And God invites us that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. One of the things I've always been conscious of in my Christian life is that I stand in need of the mercy of God. But this scripture encourages me to believe that if I ever come for mercy, mercy is what I will receive. I believe that the reason some people do not receive mercy is simply that they don't see their need of it and come in faith to receive it. And then it says we're to come for help in time of need. We're not to look at the circumstances. We're not to say, well, the situation is so grave and the problems are so great that there's nothing to be done about it, because it's just at a time of need. It's just when the problems are great that God invites us to come. Let's look at another beautiful scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 22. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Notice confidence and full assurance. Everything suggests boldness. Boldness based upon the fact that the blood of Jesus has been shed on our behalf and has been sprinkled in the very presence of God. And the blood is now speaking on our behalf, even when we do not know how to pray. I've said that from the positive point of view, we are expected to approach God with confidence. I've said that the negative side of that is that we do not come with condemnation. Let's look at some of the passages of Scripture that speak about the need to be free from condemnation. One good passage is Psalm 66, verse 18, where the psalmist says, "If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." I believe that means that if I begin to search my own heart and doubt my own standing before God and question whether I'm really forgiven and begin to doubt God's mercy and God's grace, which He's invited me to receive, I begin to think in terms of my own merits, and the devil is permitted to remind me of bad things I've done and of my failures and weaknesses. If the devil can once get us to focus on our own selves and weaknesses and failings in our own lives, then we do not approach God with confidence. And so the psalmist says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The lesson is that we're not to look at ourselves. We're to lift up our eyes to that throne of grace. We're to realize that we're not coming in our own merits or our own righteousness. In the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, John expresses the same thought. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him. You see, we have to get rid of that condemnation in our own hearts. Any attitude that thinks that we have some kind of righteousness or claim in ourselves to approach God always results in our approaching Him without full confidence, because there's nothing ultimately in ourselves. We have no righteousness of our own. Our confidence cannot be based in ourselves. So we've got to come to a place where we do not allow our heart to condemn us. We have to come to a place where we're trusting not in our own righteousness or our own wisdom, but trusting in God's faithfulness, and that produces confidence. Again, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." And in the remainder of the chapter, he paints the most glorious picture of the life that's filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, all the blessings and privileges and benefits of that life. But the entry into that chapter and the entry into that kind of life is there in the first verse. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We must lay aside condemnation.
There's a scripture that comes out of this last portion of teaching that I want you to make your own today. It's Hebrews 4 and verse 16. "Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Government leaders and policies can greatly affect God's people and their ability to carry out the Great Commission. But what can one believer do? Can a single saint change the course of history? Derek Prince says, yes. Few Bible teachers in modern times have had a deeper understanding of how prayer and fasting work together to change circumstances than did Derek Prince. That is why one of Derek's most consistently influential books is Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. As you read through its pages, you'll discover the little taught secrets of moving mountains that have inspired and influenced countless other Bible teachers and intercessors. With it, you can become a history shaper. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. To order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting for only $12.95. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Derek Prince had a deep and biblical understanding of the power of prayer. He saw firsthand how God will partner with willing believers. Discover how the same keys that move princes and presidents will also bring God's perfect will into your life. Order your own copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting today. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us here on this Wednesday. This teaching on prayer that Derek is doing is so important. We've asked a couple of folks to help me in the studio today really digest and apply this. First of all, David Holland, producer of the show and all-around scholarly wise man who helps us often. Dave, thanks for being here.
You keep inviting me back. You're a glutton for pleasure.
Well, I'm telling you, you add so much to us. And then Dick Leggett, the high and exalted president of Derek
Stephen,
Prince Ministries.
Please stop saying that. I beg you.
No. I think this teaching on prayer is just transforming. And you know, the way I described it the first day is it's like going to the authentic after you've been hearing a lot of copies. And I don't mean any insult to anyone else who teaches on prayer, but Derek's teaching was such the pioneering treatment of many of these themes, wasn't it, Dick?
Well, what you're hearing from Derek is something that he lived and taught for years and years. I mean, he is right in the middle of his sweet spot with this teaching. And, you know, this is something that is classic Derek Prince. And again, this is not about Derek, but this is just the Word of God. This is a great encouragement to everyone that hears it. And we're just coming off of about 10 days ago. The application of this was tremendous. There was an event in Nashville called The Call Nashville. Lou Engel, good friend of ours, considered Derek his spiritual father, really launched his ministry based upon one of Derek's classic books on prayer, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. And we really felt that it was an opportunity, and all the partners of Derek Prince Ministries really came on board so that we could get a copy of that book into the hands of every kid. And there were thousands of people there who now have that book in their hands. That will plant a seed that we're hoping that will cause tremendous transformation in our nation. And it's all based upon prayer.
That's powerful. You know, Dave, I think that we're really seeing something new happen in our society. We've had the extreme versions of prayer. We've had the sort of hyper, you know, stomp your foot, get anything you want from God. But people really are coming back to that holy, worship-filled, make your request known biblically and then receive it in thanksgiving and praise kind of cycle that we really see in the life of Jesus. And, of course, as a result, we see in the life of Derek Prince.
Well, yeah, I think that's right. The particularly among young people, that's one of the exciting things about the call was that there's a hunger for genuineness. There's a hunger to set aside artificiality and affectation and religion and just get genuine. And that's why it was so exciting to have Derek Prince's ministry's partners put 100,000 of this book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, in the hands of some young people. I think there's a reason why Lou Engel felt strongly about that, and that's why we feel strongly about it as well. As a matter of fact, I might mention right now before we run out of time is that we'd like to make that book available to our listeners as well. It's available for purchase online right now, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. It's $12.95. All you have to do is call or click and purchase that book. It's 1-800-448-3261 or online at derekprince.org.
You know, I'm very big on getting our partners to understand how they can partner with us to make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
And it thrills me that partners made it possible for tens of thousands of copies of this book to get into the hands of tens of thousands of young people. Look how that could impact a generation. And it was all done as people who believe in what we're doing, believe in Derek Prince, the man and the ministry, and more importantly, in our Lord Jesus Christ, came together to make a difference. And that's really happening in nations around the world. It's happening in different efforts, different benevolent efforts through DPM. I am really thrilled for that. We always want to make sure that the folks listening know that this is not just a place where they can feed, it's a place where they can partner for kingdom impact.
And this is the kind of prayer we're not talking about the kind of prayer that's getting what I want. This is lay down your life and pray on behalf of our nation.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for being with me today.
Oh, always good.
Great to be with you, Stephen.
To review the teaching that we've been talking about today and learn more about what's happening at Derek Prince Ministries, you can log on to derekprince.org. You'll find all kinds of great stuff. And remember now, it's very important that you listen to the teachings that are touching your life over and over and over to embed them in your soul. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everybody at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your copy of Derek's classic book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting, available for only $12.95. Call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover how you can become a history shaper, 800-448-3261.
That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.